If you enjoy the content and point of view, please leave a favorable review on Stitcher, iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Crosslink Radio, and we talk about health from the eye teeth on down. I'm here to help you understand some of the mysteries of health from the perspective of the oral health care provider, which is what I am, a clinical dental hygienist. I'm Shirley Gutkowski. I'm in the prevention mode, helping you keep your health at its optimum by bringing a wide variety of guests with the information that you want to know. And today we're going to be talking about clinical dental hygiene with respect to periodontal disease and how to have a good perio protocol, I guess is the best way to say it. That's what we call it in the industry, a perio protocol. With me today is Caroline Biami. She is a dentist from Brazil, a former dental assistant and practicing clinical dental hygienist in South Florida. She is the founder of Dental Hygiene Boost. She coaches and mentors dental hygiene teams who want to boost their production and enhance patient care by focusing on the dental hygiene department. She's recently been featured on the Thriving Dentist podcast with Gary Takis and Howard Speaks podcast with Howard Ferran of Dental Town. She has authored articles for Dentistry IQ, Dental Town, Hygiene Town, RGH Magazine, and RDHE Village. You may know her from her one-page periodontal protocol that has been floating around the internet. It's a cheat sheet to diagnosing and treating periodontal disease, and it has been downloaded by almost 3,000 hygienists, dentists, and office managers all over the United States and Canada. So I'd like to have you welcome Caroline Biami. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Shirley. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to talk with you and with your audience. Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be in your show. Thank you.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I hope they don't mind a little Brazilian accent.
Oh, I don't think so. Accents are awesome. So how is it that you were a dentist? Let's just start with this little piece of information first, and then we'll move on to the periodontal disease part here.
Sure.
How is it that you're a dentist down in Brazil but not here?
Well, laws, regulations of the United States of America, dental school in Brazil is like here. We study for more than five, approximately 8 years. But unfortunately, a foreign trained dentist cannot be recognized as a dentist here in America. Even though before I come here, I transfer all my papers and send you everything to AGA, and they send me back an answer that we have all the credits and all the years that an American dentist have, but laws are laws, and I cannot work as a dentist here. So from there, you know, I could stop. I could not imagine myself not being in a dental field. And I started, you know, find ways to come back. I work as a dental assistant for 3 years in Chicago, Illinois. Was an awesome experience because the difference that I see between the dentistry in Brazil and here is not the technical part. This is the same. The difference, the technology, the new stuff, the everything that happened here in America that you know so much that you always teach me about. All new research and materials and things, therapies that we are using here in America. And I, as a dental assistant, I start to learn that. Then I decided to move along, and I got my dental hygiene license here in the state of Florida. And I've been practicing here, and I can't stop because, again, I found that there's a lot of hygienists that need help, a lot of offices that are not prepared to treat their patients and to talk about oral systemic health. And I decided to start a company, the Dental Hygiene Boost, where I'm helping hygienists and doctors not only put systems in place, but really boost the patient care. Our role as a hygienist, helping the patients to be healthier and knowing what we do and knowing what we have to offer for them.
Awesome. That's exactly why I was hoping that you would be okay with kind of explaining how that whole system works. So today you're a dental hygienist with some more dental background than more dental hygienists have in the United States. And there are a lot of foreign-trained dentists who are now practicing dental hygienists. Excuse me. So this periodontal disease piece has been kind of nagging at you for quite some time, too, like it is with me, in that there are practices that are not taking advantage fully of the science behind the oral systemic link as it pertains to periodontal infections. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's fair. And let me back just a little bit. You said there's a lot of foreign trained dentists here in America. And there's a little, sometimes a bad look to that. A lot of hygienists, I notice, that sometimes don't like. And, you know, I would say let's look in the positive side, what we also have to bring. It's not a competition. It's not which country you're from, which school you went, but it's about our patient health. So if there's more people that can help us to raise the health care for our patients, why not accept it, right? And I start actually, perio, you know, is something that we talk a lot years and years and years, and we even had a good conversation at Career Fusion about this. And I would tell you that, yes, it's something that people have been talking a long time. It's something that is being teaching in schools. But guess what? It's still not be able to solve. We should not be able to solve the epidemic that's periodontal disease.
Right.
Not only here in America, but I would say to you worldwide. And I would say it's time for us to do something. And it starts like getting my nerves, those bloody profies that the hygienists just go there and everything's profy, it's polished, and like talk with the patient, let's brush and floss. No, it's not more that. You know, we need to have systems in place. I believe that we need to have ways to learn how to talk with our patients. Hygienists and doctors need to get responsibility and show the patients that it's not only about brushing and flossing, right? I've been learning so much with you about a lot of the new studies and all the crazy stuff you put in my mind, and I've been researching about, you know, yes. It, just for everybody knows, the first book that I had in my hands that inspired me to perceive my career here in America was The Purple Guide, your book, Shirley.
Aww.
And in your book, I noticed that you talk about the foundations. I noticed that you talk about really like you need to build your career in a solid place. And unfortunately, I noticed a lot of hygienists come out of school or even been practiced for years and they don't have that basic. They don't have that foundation in place. And that's what I step, I think, because I want to help them understand that there's cool stuff out there. There's research. There's like you talk about raising pH, baking soda, ozone, saliva tests, and DNA tests. And we need to start doing those things. But guess what? If we don't have the foundation, we don't know how to get there.
Right. I agree with that 100%. I was talking with a dentist yesterday, and he was trying to suggest to me that I start recommending some kind of shakes or something that's going to alter the entire body's pH. And I was like, hygienists have to first, you know, something like that especially, they have to either sneak it into the conversation or they first have to get their dentist involved. And they can't even get their dentist involved into something really scientific like xylitol. And you know, we have to straddle this kind of a weird, as a dental hygienist, this weird situation between our patients, what we think is good for our patients and what the doctor thinks is good for our patients. So do you find that that's part of the problem, that there's like a little disconnect between the hygienist and the dentist and the practices that you're talking to?
Yes, there's a huge disconnection between doctors and hygienists. I feel that sometimes doctors want to start doing something, but the hygienist is there to, let me polish the teeth, let me clock in and clock out. Sometimes the opposite. I notice the hygienists go to career fusion. They go to dental seminars. They attend continuing education. They learn about xylitol. But then they get all enthusiastic and go there on Monday ready to show to the doctor everything, and they are not, like, excited about. So it's sad because, you know, and, you know, it's hard. It happened with me in the past. Like, you learn things and you want to implement in your practice because you know this is going to reflect in the patient health. But you are cutting, you know, doctor don't let you feel like you feel like you're a prisoner. You really cannot have a voice. But I would say it's up to us, to the hygienist, to really start the conversation, not only with the doctors, but with our patients. Like, explain to the patients what we do. Explain to the patient about all the oral systemic connection that, again, Shirley, we've been talking about for years. But guess what? There's a lot of patients that don't have a clue that there's a connection between heart disease and gum disease, about periodontitis and diabetes, Alzheimer, and even some certain types of cancer. They don't know. And then the hygienists also don't know that, don't know how to explain the importance because the hygienist is not prepared for that. So I would say, if you're a dentist and you want to have a practice and boost your production and boost your patient care, talk with your hygienist. Offer to pay continuing education. Send your hygienist to Career Fusion. Send your hygienist to RGH under one roof. Let your hygienist learn and give space so she can implement that. But also, Shirley, hygienist needs to take the responsibility and say to the doctor, look, I'm a healthcare provider like you. I have responsibilities. I spend time with your patients, and I want to do more. But, you know, I think we can get there by start our foundation and implement a periodontal protocol. I have faith. I believe that if we don't keep going and keep learning, there's no reason, you know.
No, I agree with that 100%, and I really do – find that there's a disconnect, and maybe dentists hire hygienists who are opposite from them so that they kind of fill in that void, but then there's always like a little undercurrent of discontent or something in the office there. But learning how to do this and explaining it to your dentist or explaining it to your hygienist takes a different level of commitment and explanation. So do you offer some coaching to help hygienists and dentists communicate better between each other so that they can end up being on the same page and being okay with being on the same page?
Yes, exactly. That's the thing. I believe that sometimes you need someone from outside to be between the doctor and the hygienist. And it's not there. I don't like the word consultant. I just feel that sometimes someone can step there and look the situation from the outside. And really connecting the doctor and the hygienist and tell the doctor, look, you need to take control of your practice, set your practice culture. What do you want? Do you believe in oral systemic disease? Do you believe that the periodontal disease is epidemic? And do you believe that we need to treat our patients? Do you believe that we need to have someone to communicate and educate our patients? And then we need to talk to the hygienist and say, you know, more you learn, more empowered you be, and more head-to-head you're going to be with the doctor. So do you believe that you can change your patient's life by explaining to your patients what's going on in their mouth and how that reflects in their body? And, you know, are you excited? Would you love, right, know more things and use lasers and have xylitol and have ozone therapy, DNA tests? But guess what? Mm-hmm. For you to be there and keep excited, you do need to have the foundation in place. So that's what I do. I go to offices, and even online, I talk with a lot of doctors and hygienists online, where we set up systems that are going to help them know how to work with the patient, know how to communicate to the patient, and know how to identify, diagnose periodontal disease, deliver the treatment, maintain, and put the patient in a recare agenda where the patient become like taking control of their health. The patient become more responsible for everything that was done. I like I always tell my patients, you investing time and money here. So I am here to tell you everything that's going on with your health, but I'm here also to hear and answer your questions. But guess what? All that time and the money that you invest, if you go home and you don't use your xylitol, if you go home and don't put your oils, like, for example, Parodyne, or you don't use what your hygienist suggests to you, guess what? The peri disease is going to come back because it's a non-curable inflammatory disease, and that takes a role in your whole body. And you need to explain to the patient in simple terms. And I like to say that a lot of people say, but hygienist should not talk like with the patient in simple ways. I think we need to talk with them in a way that they can understand. And that's what I try to teach hygienists. I try to tell them about, like, deliver in a way that's simple. That does not take away your knowledge. It's just a way to deliver the message so the patient can understand.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, I get that a lot, too. When I'm speaking to audiences across the globe, I do sometimes go to super simple language, and that gets a lot of people upset, especially the educators. And I'm like, you know, these people are not, they're not engaged, and they're not going to hear a term that's, you know, 17 syllables long. They need to know that it's the corner of the tooth, not the line angle. They need to hear that it's a germ, not, you know, blah, blah, bacterium, da-da-da. You know, they need to hear that, even as a professional sometimes, to kind of jar them loose to understand what it is that they're doing. Now, I do want to go back just one second. You talked about production, and I have a mixed audience here listening to CrossLink Radio. So when we're talking about production, that is exactly tied directly to the amount of care that you're giving to your patients. So if you are not doing the DNA testing for your patients, if you're not doing a lot of these other diagnostic tools, you are not only not addressing your patients' needs to the fullest that you have available to you, you are also not increasing the bottom line. All those tests are not there just to increase the bottom line. They're not there just to raise, you know, to make money. They're there because we need those tools. And you can't practice clinical dental hygiene in the year 2015 the way that it was invented 103 years ago. You need to up your game, just like medicine has upped its game. They don't just only use a stethoscope and that's it to figure out what's wrong with you.
Yes, I could not agree more, Shirley. Exactly. And we need to understand it is more is a business, okay? A business that we treat people.
Yep.
So you want to, of course, give the best of our health, the bring the health to our patients and really raise their level of care, but we need to pay attention to our numbers also. You know, there's something called production. There's something called reports that you can print every day to know how you're doing. And, yes, there are things that you can bring to your office that's not going to only boost your patient's care, your patient's health, but also boost production. For you have an idea, Shirley, in America, and I tell that because I study and I'm looking for several informations, only 3 to 10% of dental offices are doing non-surgical paratherapy in their patients. So they are doing what we used to call that the old term SRP. Only 3 to 10% of dental offices build their patients on a D4342, D4341. They are the ADA codes for that. How that's possible when CDC says that 50% of Americans over 30 years old have periodontitis. How that is possible when Academy of General Dentistry says that 80% of population has certain type of gum disease that's among periodontitis and gingivitis. So what are we doing with our patients? The bloody prophys? No, it's time to stop to think about our patient not as a 32 teeth, a set of teeth, but as a health, a whole body. We need to understand that if we don't tell the patient that infection they have in a number 10 will affect their whole body and cause you serious problems in their heart, in their lungs, in their pancreas, and can affect their diabetes. If we don't explain to the patient that connection, guess what? We are losing opportunity to save lives, and we're losing opportunity to raise production. And it's a business. We do need to have a goal every day, in my opinion. We do need to have new technology, new materials, bring it on DNA tests, saliva tests, because we do need to make profits as well. I think a lot of the hygienists are not prepared for the business side of dentistry. I think it's extremely important because when we understand that we are not there to clock in and clock out, and we are there to help a business grow, we take more responsibility, and then the eyes of the doctor's going to look at us in a different way.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that 100%. The production question keeps coming up, and people seem to have a real negative reaction to it. But when you tie it to good patient care, and
exactly.
Just think of everything as zero, you know, even if you just think to yourself, so the cost of the patient of this is zero, the cost to me is zero, and just pretend it's all free, then you have a much better relationship with your patient and a much better relationship with the practice. And if the practice isn't making money, it's going to sink and it's going to go away, and then you won't have a job, and your patients will all have to, they're going to suffer on top of it. So if it helps you as a clinician to just zero out everything and just look at your patient and say, if this was me in the chair, how would I want to be treated? Would I want to have the best possible diagnostics? Do I want to have the best possible treatment? Am I okay with a diagnostic tool that was perfected in 1880? You know, no.
Yes. You're right.
You want to have the best possible, right? Or at least as close to the best possible.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I was a person, it wasn't a patient of mine, but he was a patient of one of the doctors that was in a group practice with me. And so I met this person at Toastmasters, and he was going on and on about how much he liked this dentist, because he never finds anything, and there's never any work to do, and he's a good joker and all this stuff. And I said, okay, you work in a very highly advanced biotechnical field, and you're going to a dentist who's not finding anything because he's using a tool that was perfected in the 1800s. So you're going to tell me that you can make, you know, you're going to be okay with that? That you're going to be okay with a dentist who is still practicing in the 1950s or 60s? That doesn't work. It shouldn't work in your mind. But because he had no idea that that was a difference, and, you know, this was a long time ago, so I hope everybody's dead. But it's going to come back and haunt me. But, you know, it's that kind of thinking. If your dentist isn't finding anything time after time after time, they may not be looking.
Exactly. That watch, right? Let's watch. There's nothing to watch. Watch what?
We're going to keep an eye on it.
Yes. So that's what I am about, Shirley. I'm about to put a protocol in place, teach offices and dental hygienists and doctors about their peri-percent. Pay attention to their notes. Pay attention to, I like to talk to hygienists, like, there's so much that you can learn by review medical history. It's not asking, what medication you're taking? Oh, okay. No, connect. There's xerostomia present because there's medication. So what can we do? How can we boost that pH? How can we, you know, make sure that the patient go out with xylitol in their hands? And I just came back from amazing course in about bone regeneration. So we see a furcation and you're like, oh yeah, let's put some varnish here. And you know, if you have sensitivity, let's use some sensitivity toothpaste. No, there's things you can do for recession. There's things you can do for vacation. So let's study more. Let's empower us. And one of my points, Shirley, that every day I like, oh, my God, why I didn't do that before, is going to Career Fusion. I cannot don't mention that. I feel that I'm like 4 or 5 years ahead. Right now is an amazing opportunity. It's something that I would tell, doesn't matter if you have questions or whatever, if people say, oh, it's not, or if you don't know what's going on there, if they don't have a clear schedule, Career Fusion is the best, I would say, experience that I have as far as education in my life. My network grew so much in a couple months, 3-4 months after. I have people with knowledge by my side. Now I'm not alone in that fight against periodontal disease. I'm not alone more in America, just reading magazines and in books, and I have a network that I can reach anytime. Career Fusion is more than a dental seminar. Is I don't even know how to describe. It's a network event. Is I know people say that over and over again, but I found out that here in America, people, dentistry can have a heart. I was telling other friend of ours for Career Fusion that I never received so many hugs, and I felt so good because I was like, it's like in Brazil, people here have feelings. They have some feelings, you know. Career Fusion is awesome. And after I come back from Career Fusion, I sat with my husband that works with me at Dental Hygiene Boost, and we decided to develop an online program so can lower the cost of the dentist, can also help the hygienist purchasing their own if they really want to evolve and empower the career. And it's going to be exactly about process, about the protocol, where we're going to talk about new tools, new things you can use, but fundamentals that you need to have to even go to your office every morning clocking. You cannot more go there if you don't have what it takes to take care of your patient in the best of your ability.
Right. I agree. Thank you so much for the kind words about Career Fusion, because it is very hard to describe, because everyone who leaves goes away with an entirely different endpoint. It really is amazing how it works, and I'm so happy that you were able to find a way to make it to the meeting this year.
Oh yeah,
I know it's a challenge, you know, but we mm-hmm. we do that on purpose too, because people who don't pay for things don't value those things, so it's real important that I'm glad that you had such a good time.
Yes, I do, and I would say everybody should, you know, everybody that want to empower themselves, meet people. I used to think I was very smart until I go to Career Fusion, and I was like, I'm not that smart, because everybody there, like, just blew my mind. I was like, I am not that smart as I thought, but, you know, it's an awesome meeting. It's an awesome meeting, and thank you to you to be, for me, a mentor and been helping me in my projects and give me the opportunity to speak with your audiences. Thank you very much, Shirley.
Well, you know, I want to bring my audiences something that they can take away and something that helps them clarify things. And I think this really was an important message to hear from somebody besides just me all the time. So thank you for that. So I want to make sure that people know how to find you, and they can do that by going to dentalhygieneboost.com, right? DentalHygieneBoost, Dental Hygiene Boost. And then you have a Twitter handle, and it is Carol A. I'm going to spell it because it's Carol with a K. K-A-R-O-L-A-N-N-E-K. So
exactly.
That's
in my email, too, I make sure to answer is Caroline, and also Caroline at dentalhygieneboost.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie. I can't wait to see you again.
Yes. Under one roof can't come fast enough, because I think that's the next time we'll be under the same roof. Ha ha.
Yes, we're going to have some fun. Being with Shirley is always fun.
You're very welcome. Have a great rest of the week, and I hope that more and more practices start looking to you for help with their perio protocols.
Thank you, Shirley. Have a great day.
You too. That was Caroline Biami, and she is a practicing clinical dental hygienist in Florida with a new, she doesn't want to call it consulting either, but it's a helping aid at dentalhygieneboost.com for your dental hygiene practice. And she works really extensively with dental hygienists to get them up to speed on the care and management of periodontal disease in their patients. So that's a very important feature as we move into our next era of healthcare. So thank you again for listening. This is Shirley Gutkowski signing off. Please rate this episode, share this episode, make comments about the episode, and we'll talk soon. Have a great rest of the week. Bye now.